take our Bibles, if you would, and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. While you're turning there, I again want to say thank you to your pastor and to each of you for your partnership through prayer, as well as your financial giving to missions. Financially giving is important. Even as missionaries, we give to Faith Promise Missions, and we do believe in that, but prayer is just as important or even more than the money that we give. So I hope that you do pray for all of your missionaries, and that is a great part in the missions program. Ephesians chapter number 3, I'm going to read verses 14 through 21. If you would follow along as I read. If you are able, let's stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, the word of God says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the scriptures. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord. We thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to serve you. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together to worship you. Lord, I thank you for this local church. I thank you, dear God, for each and every person here. And I pray, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit will work in each and every heart tonight. I pray that if there be even one here tonight, Lord, that does not know that heaven will be their eternal home, that they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, no matter how long they may have been attending this local church, I pray, dear God, that today would be the day of salvation. And for all of us that are your children, we have made that decision. We have trusted Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would challenge us, convict us, help us to desire to have a closer walk with you. Guide and direct in everything said and done tonight for your honor and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Did everyone see the video this morning? Anyone that didn't see the video this morning? Okay. Do you remember the beginning of the video? At the beginning of the video, it showed masses of people. Do you remember seeing those pictures? Masses of individuals. There were two different sets of pictures there. One had that cart with the cross and all on it. And then the second set of pictures was actually Antipolo. That is the city that we are in. And it still showed thousands and thousands and thousands of people filling the streets. Very, very crowded. Those pictures were taken during Holy Week. During Holy Week on Thursday night, Maundy Thursday, tens of thousands of individuals walked the streets from Manila up to the Catholic Cathedral in Antipolo City. And they come there to worship a statue of Mary. Tonight, I want to talk to you about serving God with a capital G. We think, what other God is there? What other God is there? The God, the creator God of the universe, that is the God that we should be serving. But yet, what I just described to you, in the Philippines, they literally worship objects. They worship statues. And when I look around the world, whether America, Philippines, or elsewhere, really there are not only dozens or hundreds or thousands, there are really millions of different gods that people are worshiping. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. The scriptures that we read are a prayer of the Apostle Paul. They are a prayer of the Apostle Paul praying for the church at Ephesus, praying that really that they would be Christ-like, that they would all have a closer walk with the Lord and be more like Christ. That's what Christ desires for every one of us. Amen? I hope that you believe that. That was Paul's desire, and that is truly the Lord's desire. But my question for you tonight is, what God are you serving? What God are you serving? For some, they literally do worship a statue or an object, and we see that in the Philippines. At the Catholic Cathedral that you saw in the pictures there in Antipolo, there is a statue of Mary, and she is called Our Lady of Peace and Good Voyage. She was brought over on a ship from Mexico a couple hundred years ago. That ship went through a typhoon, was almost destroyed, but it made it, and they give credit to that statue of Mary. And they literally come to bow down and worship a statue. Can that statue do anything for them? No, it can't. You and I understand that. That statue cannot do anything at all for them. But yet, they pray to that statue. They pray to Mary. And they try to touch the cross or even the statues of Peter and Paul and other so-called saints with a handkerchief or something, somehow believing that they're receiving a blessing. And since Mary there is the Our Lady of Peace and Good Voyage, when someone buys a new car, they bring it to Antipolo to have it sprinkled with holy water and all of the priest before Mary there that their vehicle will be blessed. When they're going to travel, they come and pass in front of the Catholic Church in Antipolo before they go out, thinking that that will keep their travels safe. You and I, that sounds crazy to most of us here probably, but yet, there are others that worship other things. We don't worship statues in this country, but there are things that we sometimes put in our lives before the Lord. So this message tonight is about the priorities of each and every one of us in our lives. Others, they worship their trophies, their gold medals, their Super Bowl ring or NBA championship. But yet, you listen to some of those individuals, those athletes, and after that victory, even when they talk about it, they're still not satisfied, are they? But yet, that's what they're living for. We as regular American citizens and individuals and so forth, we're not playing on those sports teams, but yet, there are individuals, hopefully not in this church, but there are individuals that worship some of those athletes. Because of the health of Ivy's mother, we spent a couple months living in Los Angeles. And while we were there, the king arrived. I am not trying. I don't know what sports teams any of you like and so forth. I am not trying to offend anybody. But I've never really been a fan of LeBron James when it comes to basketball and so forth. Now, over the years, I do respect him as an athlete. He is one of the greatest basketball players ever, if not the greatest. I don't know, but he is definitely one of the greatest. But there are individuals that worship him as a god. There are individuals that worship him and other men as a god. But yet, forgetting about sports, some worship their sports team. And I don't know who here loves sports and the sports that you care about and so forth, but you watch any of those games and you see those people who are all painted and so forth. They worship those teams. But some worship their bank account. Some worship their popularity or their position at work, the work that they have. Some worship the power that they have in their position. Others worship their children. And their children come before everything. Family is important, amen? Do you believe that? Family is important. Family is important to the Lord. But God is to be first priority in our lives. And many people, however, worship themselves. They worship themselves, and the world tells us who's the most important person. Me, myself, and I. The world tells us that we are what matter and that we should do everything we can to make ourselves happy, right? When you watch television, when you look at billboards, that's what the world is trying to tell us. How amazing is your God? I hope your God is more amazing than just yourself. I hope your God is more amazing than an athlete or a bank account or whatever the case may be. I serve an amazing God. Do you serve an amazing God? I serve the creator of the universe, the giver, sustainer of life, and even the taker of life. He's in control of all things. There's nothing that takes God by surprise. And that is the God that we should be serving. I want to give you quickly seven thoughts tonight. Seven quick thoughts. Number one, we serve a God that is able. Do you believe that? We serve a God that is able. Look back at the scriptures. Look at verse 20. I'm jumping towards the end of our scripture to begin with. We will go back to verse 14 and go from there in a few moments. But verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I'm going to skip to the end of that verse for just a moment. It talks about the power that worketh in us. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit that we have in us. Look back at verse 16. It says to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God is able to do anything. Amen. There's a Bible track out there that I've seen in some churches that says three things God cannot do. Number one, God cannot sin. God cannot sin and God cannot change. God's character does not change. God is love. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. None of that is going to change. But number three, God cannot allow sinners into heaven. But when it comes to God's ability, there is nothing too hard for God. Amen? There is nothing that is too hard for God. God is able to do anything. So in your life, personally, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God in your life? The verses that I hold dear, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, thy paths." And I absolutely believe that is true. But yet, even though I hold to those verses, there are times in my own life that I do not trust him as I should. How many of you would say there are times that you don't fully trust the Lord? Anyone else willing to admit that? That there are times in your life that you do not fully trust him, but yet, I just ask the question, is God able? Whatever it is in your life, whether it's a financial need, whether it is marriage difficulties, whether a wayward child, whether a lost family member, whatever the case may be, a health issue, even cancer and so forth. Almost 40 days ago, Ivy's mother passed away from brain cancer. And sometimes we want God to heal people, and it's not necessarily his will to do so. But we know that we can always trust him and that God is able. We can never doubt that God is able. I could go on with just that first point, but number two, we serve a God that hears and answers prayer. We serve a God that hears and answers prayer. I hope that you believe that. That there is nothing outside the ability of God. We serve a God that hears and answers prayer. Psalm 86, 7. "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." David trusted that God was able to hear him and that God was able to answer him. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This morning in Sunday school, we heard about Nehemiah. Great lessons on Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. What a wonderful book in the Bible to read and to be encouraged by. But Nehemiah was a man of prayer. He was a man that called out to God, and even when he was standing before the king, and the king said, your countenance is down. What is wrong with you? Nehemiah was scared because he knew he could have his head chopped off. Nehemiah prayed immediately, expecting God to give him an answer. And God does answer. We look at the scriptures here. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer, and he prayed unto God, believing that God would answer. I was saved at the age of 24, and it was 2.5 years after I was saved that my wife and I were married. It was 4 years after we were married that I knew the Lord was calling us into the ministry and to the mission field. I shared that with my wife in November of 99, and she ignored me. Gentlemen, have any of you ever had your wife ignore you? My wife ignored me. In March of 2000, in our missions conference, in our local church, I publicly surrendered. I knew that that's what God wanted us to do. My wife was angry about it. She did not want to go to the mission field. She did not want to go back to the Philippines. She had worked her whole life to get to America. I spent the next 4 years praying, fasting, trusting the Lord that he would change her heart. I know I serve a God that hears and answers prayer. God did change the heart of my wife, and my wife was willing for me to go to seminary, for us to go into the ministry, and God continued to work on her heart, and God has taken us to the mission field, and we've been there over 5 years, and God has been doing amazing things. We know that God hears and answers prayer. Doesn't mean life has always been easy. When we got there, there were many trials that we faced, many difficulties, many challenges, even threats to our family from an individual, from individuals, one in particular that was ex-military, a sniper, said, you better watch your children. We know that we serve a God that hears and answers prayer. Even in the midst of threats, we serve a God that is able. He is able to do so much. The question is, are you and I willing to participate? Are we really serving him? We serve a God that is able. We serve a God that hears and answers prayer. Number three, we serve a God that is able to save souls. We serve a God that is able to save souls. As a child, I went to church, but I never made a decision for Christ. I am so thankful for second chances, that at the age of 24, that someone shared their testimony with me. And God used that to prick my heart, and I realized that I was lost and bound for hell and that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. I went home that night and opened my Bible to John chapter 3 and read that ye must be born again. I read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is true for you too. Maybe there's someone here tonight that has never trusted Christ as your Savior. Oh, pastor, myself, so many here would love to take the Bible and show you. But the Bible very clearly says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. The wages of sin is death. There is a penalty for sin that separates us from God for all eternity. But yet, God is able to save your soul. Maybe you've never made that decision. Tonight is no better time than tonight to make that decision for yourself. But everyone here may say, well, I'm already saved, so that's irrelevant. No, it's not. Is everyone in your family saved? Is every one of your relatives saved? Are all your coworkers saved? Are all your neighbors saved? God is able to save souls. Oh, I can tell you about a woman named Maribel. And when she came to Metroview Baptist Church with her two children, she was in her third marriage. She was in her third marriage when she was saved. She was not saved at Metroview, but she was already in her third marriage when she became a believer. And she started coming, her husband, a devout Catholic. And finally, one Sunday, he came. He came, and one of our men took him after the service and spent about 30 minutes sharing the gospel with him. And after that, he came out of the counseling room and said that he had made a decision to trust Christ. That was an answer of prayer, but that was not the end of it. After that, we tried to follow up and so forth, but we could never get in touch with him. By phone, going to the house, we could never find him. And 10 months later, they were gone for 10 months. His work had taken him away, but we did not know why. We thought he had been offended or whatever the case may be. But 10 months later, Mike and Maribel and their two children come back. And they have been faithfully attending ever since. That was 2016. They've been coming for the last over 2 years now. And faithfully involved. God is able to save souls. I think of Joseph, who spent 2 years praying for his lost father. God is able to save souls. Every one of us, you say that you know that. We say that we understand that. But do you realize the seven thoughts that I'm sharing with you tonight, there is another side to each one of these. And it is the fact that God wants to use you. God uses people to accomplish his will. And God wants to use each one of us to be the vessel to share the gospel with those other people. Could God just cause people to fall down on their knees all over the place and trust him? Yes, he could, but that's not the way he does it. No, God is able to save souls, but he wants you and I to be the ones to share the gospel, to pass the gospel track, the Bible track, or to invite them to church, whatever the case may be. We serve a God that is able to save souls, but he wants you involved in soul winning. He wants you to be involved in sharing the message. I don't know how many of you have ever had that opportunity, but other than trusting Christ myself, the greatest privilege and blessing has been God allowing me to lead someone else to him. That is the greatest blessing and privilege. Oh, it was wonderful, a great blessing to be married to my wife. Oh, what a wonderful blessing, the birth of our two children. Those are wonderful blessings. But seeing another soul trust Christ as their Savior, there is no greater blessing than receiving him yourself if you've never made that decision. God is able to save souls. He wants to use you to accomplish that. Number four, we serve a God that provides every need. Do you believe that? We serve a God that provides every need that we have. Look at verse 16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This prayer is talking about spiritual strength for the most part and spiritual provision. But as God provides for us spiritually and he strengthens us spiritually, that allows us to overcome the difficulties, challenges, and obstacles that we face every single day. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we look at this verse right here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What are the riches of his glory? How much does God own? Is there anything that doesn't belong to God? God owns everything, amen? It all belongs to him. Everything that you and I have belongs to God. Everything in this world belongs to the Lord. The Lord has everything materially, but also when it comes to spiritual strength and so forth, God is eternally rich. God has the ability to give us the strength that we need to get through the dialysis or the chemotherapy or the loss of a family member, whatever the case may be, the loss of employment, the challenges and all that we are facing. God is able to provide every need that we have. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 31, says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It was 1997 when we first began to attend an independent Baptist church. And we began to learn and understand about tithing and about faith promise missions. And it was at that point that we truly got really involved in the ministry, involved in soul winning, involved in Awana, going to the prison ministry, going to the nursing home ministry, going out soul winning. Whatever we could do, we were involved. But with the tithing and the faith promise, God taught us that we could never outgive him. I hope you understand that in your own life. God taught us to put him first, to put him first in everything, but even in our finances, and God will take care of every need. God will provide, and you can never outgive him. My background is finance, numbers, budget, and when we first started doing that, it didn't add up, Pastor. It did not make sense. It did not add up, and over from the time we started doing that, until 2005, when we sold our house in North Carolina, quit our jobs, and moved to Florida so that I could go to seminary, God had doubled our income in that time period. That does not mean when we start giving, God is going to financially necessarily bless us, but God provides everything that we need. God takes care of. Whether it be not getting sick, whether it be the tires on the car lasting longer, whatever the case may be, God takes care of every need. Do you ever doubt? Do you ever doubt him? I know there have been times in my life that I doubted. And even on the mission field, God has shown us that he provides at just the right moment. And I'll share that we are preparing to send a 20-foot container with some ministry materials and also some personal items. And I had not put that in a prayer letter or anything. We had just been praying about it. But a church contacted and asked about specific needs. I shared that with them and they took care of it. God takes care of every need. God provides. And he wants us to call out to him. Oh, we already talked about prayer, but God wants us to pray to him specifically. He wants us to give those needs to him. He wants to provide for it. No matter what it is in your life, and I don't know what each of you are facing, but God does. God knows every need that you have. And he wants to provide. When we look at these scriptures, that he would grant you according to his to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Sometimes our faith is kind of small. Has your faith ever been small? There are times that my faith is smaller than it should be. We are saved by faith, but really we're to trust him by faith every single day and realize that he is able to take care of everything. He is able to provide every need that we have. And you can never outgive God. If you give yourself to God, he will not fail you. I hope that you realize that in your own life. Number five, we serve a God that has victory in the battles. We serve a God that has victory in the battles. Verse 17 there, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. I don't have the time to go through and break all that down. You could give several messages on this passage going through the details of each of these verses. But no matter what you are facing, God gives us the victory through the battles. I think of Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible makes it very clear the Christian life is a spiritual battle. This morning, hearing about the fact that Satan, like a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In Sunday school, I believe, is when those scriptures were mentioned. Every one of us as a Christian, you are a target. Your family is a target. Satan wants to destroy your testimony personally. Satan hates the institution of marriage that God created and has done everything he can to pervert it and wants to destroy it. So he puts a target on our families. This local church is serving the Lord and trying to win lost people to the Lord. Satan despises that. And this local church, your pastor is a target. Your pastor's family is a target of Satan. You should pray for your pastor. Pray for him and his family. And pray for one another that Satan would not have the victory. We know that we have the eternal victory through the Lord. Amen? But we can also have victory every single day. And Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are to put on the armor of God and to be strengthened in the inner man. Paul was praying for spiritual strength. How do we receive that spiritual strength? Being in church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, listening to the preaching of God's word, spending time reading God's word, spending time personally on your knees in prayer. Paul talked about being on his knees, but we don't have to get down on our knees to pray. Oh, even in Sunday school this morning, it was mentioned about praying while driving. Yes, every time I drive in Manila, I pray. There is no traffic in this country that compares to the traffic in Manila. Lines are for decoration only. And there may be three lanes of traffic, but there are six lanes of cars. And everyone is cutting off one another. So if you ever complain about traffic, come visit us in Manila. But we serve a God that has victory in the battles. God will get you through whatever you're facing, and I don't know what it is, but God will get you through it. Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to trust him? Number six, we serve a God that is able to transform lives. A God that is able to transform lives. Oh, I mentioned a couple already. I mentioned Mike, devout Catholic, but now God is using him. I mentioned his wife, Maribel, being on her third marriage. Well, the marriage of Mike and Maribel was not going very well, and they were close to separating, but God has done amazing things in both of their lives and transformed that marriage, that family. I think of Mary Joy, one of our first converts there, after we arrived, and she's gone off to Bible college, graduated, and now she's one of our school teachers. God transformed lives. God wants to transform each one of us. Now, when we trust Christ, in a sense, we are transformed because we become a new creature. But are you allowing God to use you? Are you being used by the Lord? Are you a willing vessel for Him? Number 7, last but not least at all. Look at verse number 20. Verse 21, actually. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God deserves all the glory. Everything that is done here in this ministry, everything that is done in our ministry in the Philippines, everything that is done in each and every one of our lives is to be to the honor and glory of God. And God is the one that deserves the glory. Man is very selfish and prideful. That applies to every one of us. But everything that we do isn't about us. It is about the Lord. And we serve a God that deserves the honor and glory. I hope in your life that you truly have chosen to serve the God with a capital G. What are the priorities in your life? Are there things that are distracting you from focusing on the Lord and truly putting Him first? God wants us to be a living sacrifice, to surrender ourselves unto Him. He wants to work in you that He can better work through you. Let's bow in prayer as Pastor comes tonight. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I do thank You for the fact that there is nothing too hard for You. Help us, dear God, to be willing vessels that can be used by You. Oh, You're able to use us, but are we willing to allow You to work in us that You can work through us? Guide and direct in each of our lives, Lord. Help us to have a closer walk with You. In Jesus' precious name.